Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of A Happy Moment. My name is Dan. I'm glad to have you with me today. Today, I have a very special guest, and he's actually coming on to talk about some wrestling with me, but he also has a podcast with an important message. So, ladies and gentlemen, welcome the host of Autism Rocks and Rolls, Sam Mitchell. Hey, Sam.
Hey, man. Thanks again. Good to be here. Happy to chat with us about some wrestling.
Yeah, very absolutely.
Excited to do that.
Absolutely, yeah. Always happy to talk about wrestling. And so, Sam, you have your podcast, Autism Rocks and Rolls. And can you tell us a little bit about this?
Yeah. So I run a podcast called Autism Rocks and Rolls. It's about autism and how we cope with daily struggles that you may or may not understand. Through the podcast, it's grown so much. We developed a lot of things. We developed sponsors, a board of 8 people, speaking engagements. I've spoken in Oklahoma, Orlando 3 times, Canada twice, Stuart, Florida, and Washington, D.C. And I also play in events in Indiana, where I'm from. I've also actually had some wrestlers, though, on this show. I've had Mick Foley, Kane, Buff Bagwell. Let's see who else. Victoria, and then Al Snow, RVD, and the list could go on for a little while longer.
Very cool. What made you decide to start this website, or this podcast, rather, and the website?
I'll explain the story. So at Star Trek, I joined my high school's media club, and I fell in love with it so much that I started the podcast, Autism Rocks and Rolls. And that's how I was born, and it grew for a while. But then I was expecting a few hits. I didn't expect it to go where it is today. But then what I expected wasn't. So when I was thinking 17 downloads, it did start that. But then it got 20. Then it got 40. And then now it got over 50 each time. So then we see this growing, and now we're getting sponsors. And now people want to be on a board, which we didn't know what that was. We're playing a gala. So we have a family meeting to decide, are we going to go through with this or just continue with being a hobby? And we made the family decision to go forward and dive in the storm head first.
Very cool. Sam, what would you say is the biggest misconception out there about autism?
That we can't do anything. That some people on the spectrum are weird and there's this whole perception. We can look at a lot of people who probably have some the right perceptions, but I'll explain what that means. So Cody Lee from AGT, when they think autism, they think that. They think 3-year-old, they think he's a bit odd to talk to, but that's not all of us. There's just some social issues or functions like an 8-year-old. They're in the middle of the road. I know one person who lives interdependently. But then they're all right up perceptions, but I'm not saying Cody Lee isn't a bad person or Cody Lee should listen to society. No, I'm saying that's what society thinks. But when you put Cody Lee in front of a piano, he becomes a 30-year-old man, old soul.
Every person is different and unique. And as far as I'm concerned, there's no such thing as normal. We're all each our own person. And it's unfortunate that everyone can't be accepting of everyone else that might be a little different from them.
I know, it's very aggravating. It's very aggravating, man. They might be the smartest ones in the room, too, if you think about it.
And you do have the website, which is the same name as the podcast, autismrocksandrolls.com. And on that website, you do offer several different services. Is that correct? You offer like coaching and podcast editing services, motivational speaking.
Yep, correct.
Is that right? Okay. And I have to ask you, so on your website, on the main page there, it looks like there's a picture of you singing at a concert. Is that right?
Yep. So one of the dream visions, because I'm not just a fan of wrestling or trying to stigmatize autism. One thing I am is a rock and roll music geek. It's kind of one of my special interests. I got to live out a dream by being a guest lead singer for a local Midwestern or Mid-Eastern. I'm from Minneapolis, so you pick where that is. But they're a local band, rock band with old-timers from Van Halen to AC/DC to Motley Crue, and I was the guest lead singer.
Okay. It looks like you're having a blast. That's awesome.
My first bar experience.
Are you even 21 yet?
Actually, now, yes.
Sam, you mentioned some of the wrestlers that you've had on your podcast. I've met Buff Bagwell in person at an indie show quite a while ago, and he was a really nice guy. I enjoyed meeting him, got a picture with him.
Hold on. Stop right. Did you say indie show?
Yeah, just an independent show.
Oh, independent. I thought you were like indie. I thought you meant like Indianapolis or something.
No, sorry. No, this was in Michigan back in like 2004 maybe. But Buff was really cool. Have you had pretty pleasant experiences with all the wrestlers?
Yeah, they all haven't been bad. I can't really complain. Some have grown further than others, I would say, but all the interviews weren't really bad. I haven't had a wrestler hang up on me yet.
Oh, that's always a positive.
Yeah, but I've also got to meet wrestlers as well, because through a big Midwestern event, I don't know if you've been to it, in Indianapolis, Indiana, called the Squared Circle Expo. Big wrestling convention where it's not just one meet and greet with Mick Foley. It's like tons of meet and greets with all lots of wrestlers. So I met several through the expo. I met Tony Storm. I met Eric Rowan, Gangrel. Let's see, who else I met? Melina. I met Brutus the Barber Beefcake. My mother did it. Actually, no, I did it, but my mother met Kevin Nash. I met Sabu. I met Kurt Angle. And I got the privilege of meeting Scott Steiner.
Wow, that's quite an impressive list there. And what was the name of that event?
Square Circle Expo.
Okay, and that's in Indianapolis?
Correct.
Okay, I'll have to look into that. I've never been there, but sounds like it'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, too. You come and meet me there. We'll go for a nice dinner.
Yeah, what month do they have it in?
March.
March, okay.
Late March, early April.
Okay. I'll have to look into that. So you go every year to it now?
So I didn't hear about it until last year, actually. So it was my first year last year, but they've been doing it before. I just never heard about it until last year.
Okay.
But this year, I decided to elevate my time there by being a vendor.
Okay. Okay, very cool. So does that mean you get to have like a table next to all the wrestlers who are going to be there?
Yeah, close to some. But then also, I also will have other vendors will be there. So I'm going to promote my wrestling episodes there.
Awesome. Very cool. Sam, when you first started talking to me, you had mentioned all the different main events for each WrestleMania. Is there any particular time period in wrestling that you're a bigger fan of than others, or do you just enjoy all of it?
Oh, I enjoy all of it, but there is one that I enjoy more than the others. And you probably get this a lot, but the Attitude Era.
Yep. Yeah, that was a pretty magical era.
It was out of the box. I just wish, like, you couldn't bring what you've seen in today, and plus the characters were over the top. I mean, you had every characters that you would see in movies. The Rock, Stone Cold, The Undertaker. Those are the characters I like. Characters you see in movies. And I like people you could see your next door neighbor type characters. But mine is characters that you would see in a comic book. So Ultimate Warrior, while having a limited ring ability, he had a pretty cool character.
Yeah, I agree with you 100% there, and that kind of leads me into my next question about some of your favorite WrestleMania matches that you might have had, and you mentioned the Ultimate Warrior, so I got to say that one of my favorites was WrestleMania 6, Ultimate Warrior versus Hulk Hogan, and, you know, you get those two guys in the ring, and they're not going to put on a wrestling clinic, but that was a very huge match at the time, and you know, watching that as a kid, I found that to be pretty exciting. Oh, what do you think?
I watched that one, and I think it would have been better if Warrior had a better ring abilities, because it was limited.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the person who likes good characters, but you need to back it up in the ring, too.
Right.
You can't rely all on the character. Now, some characters are bad but can have good matches, I could live with that. It just can't be bad match, bad character.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. But what are some of your favorite WrestleMania matches?
WrestleMania matches. Well, it just goes way back in time. I didn't get to see it through being there, but I got to see it through networks and Peacock. Ricky Steamboat versus Randy Savage at WrestleMania 3. That's a clinic, one for the ages. They aren't right. Hulk Hogan Andre was not the match of the night. It was Ricky and Randy. They put on a clinic. It was just wrestling at its best.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And, you know, you mentioned Hogan versus Andre. That's, you know, that's another one that definitely not a wrestling clinic, but I think WrestleMania 3 might have been the very first pay-per-view event that I ever watched. And, you know, that match stuck out in my mind. And I remember going back, watching that several times. Because when I was a kid, you know, I didn't care so much for how good someone could wrestle. It was more about the spectacle and the entertainment aspect of it. So that one was pretty impressive. You know, another one was that I enjoy a lot is, well, to be honest with you, I enjoy anything with Bret Hart in it. I don't know if you're a Bret Hart fan at all.
No. I'm not the guy who... So Bret Hart's, he didn't have much of a character. It was just your average day. Working man, let's go. Okay, here's my problem. There's been people before him that done that. Been there, done that. Also, on top of that, Bret Hart is the technical wrestler. Suplexes, not much. Ground and pound. Submissions. Sharpshooters. That's not me. That's not my favorite style. I like hardcore creativity. When Raven or Tommy Dreamer hits a enziguri with the frying pan, or actual, I guess what you call fights, like fights that should be, you would see on the streets.
Yeah. So you're not a fan of the Bret versus Stone Cold match from WrestleMania 13, the I Quit match?
No, it was too technical.
Okay.
See, I don't like technical. I don't like submissions. I like round and pound. I like strike fights. Ground and pound. I'm trying to think what else, another way to put it here. And throws, strikes.
So it sounds like you'd be a big fan of someone like Brock Lesnar.
Or barbed wire. Barbed wire baseball bats.
Who's your all-time favorite wrestler?
Oh, I got to have him. Mick Foley, man.
Okay. I like that answer. That's a good one. Do you have any particular matches of his that stand out?
Sure. So, Mick Foley, Undertaker, but it's not the Hell in a Cell. It's the ones he did before the Hell in a Cell. It was the SummerSlam, Boiler Room Brawl, and the Buried Alive, because it was so out of the box at the time span. Now we see a lot of them, clearly. But before then, it was something new, and it was intriguing. And with some intriguing matches, it doesn't work. We've seen matches like spend the night in a New York City jailhouse match. That didn't really work. It was a good idea on paper, but then it just didn't work. Or the Kennel from Hell with Al Snow and the Big Boss Man. Good on paper, but when executed, boo, right? Boiler Room Brawl and Buried Alive. Good idea on paper, well executed.
Sam, I got to be honest with you. It sounds like you have a lot better memory than I do. I can vaguely remember those matches, but some of them I'm a little fuzzy on the details. You mentioned Al Snow versus Boss Man, and you know, I just want to give a shout out to the Boss Man because you know he was around during the Hulkamania years, and then he showed back up in the Attitude Era, and he was pretty sinister then. I remember when he was feuding with Al Snow, I think he kidnapped Al's dog and he fed him to him, and
yeah, it was a good storyline. I thought it was a really good storyline, actually. It was just the match with the idea didn't work. What I wish they could have done was get rid of the dogs. They had Rottweilers going all over the place. That was a really stupid idea. But I like the idea where you have the steel cage and then the Hell in a Cell. That was really cool, actually. That would be, in my opinion, the Kennel from Hell mount. Kennel from Hell.
Who won that match?
I think it was Al, if I remember correctly.
Okay. Yeah, when Al was in WWE, I don't remember him winning a whole lot of matches, so I wasn't sure.
Yeah. Well, with Big Boss Man, I didn't like him as a heel. I think he was a better babyface.
Yeah. Yeah, he was. I thought he was a very good babyface.
Because in my brain, he looked like a cop. On top of that, for the time span and the way wrestling is going, it would have worked. Because they were getting occupant jobs, and the cop was a good idea. Now, maybe a plunger, that's kind of stupid. But a cop? Why not? I think that could work. That could make some money and grow an attraction.
Yeah, and when I think of Boss Man as a face, you know, a couple of the matches that stand out to me were his match against Nails. I think that was a nightstick on a pole match. I remember he had that feud with the Mountie where the Mountie ended up going to a night in jail. Those were fun times.
And that's what else I met, by the way.
Oh, the one that you mentioned earlier?
No, the Mountie, I met him.
Oh, okay, you met him.
Kind of funny on that one. So the Mountie was bullied. And I went in on my show, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I give him London who I am because apparently he's not hard to find. Well, I send the text and he's interested, but then he's calling me. He is literally giving me a call on my phone. I didn't tell me about it.
Did you answer?
Oh, yeah, I answered.
Okay. How did things go with him? Was he cool about everything?
He was cool about everything. He wasn't a mean guy. It just didn't pan out.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, he definitely gave me a call, and he is a very big mental health disability advocate. I think I just recently saw him get back from the Special Olympics.
Another wrestler former wrestler who I know is pretty big into that is, and I don't know if you've ever talked to him, is Mark Merrill. I know he does a lot of...
Yes, I've tried to talk to him, but he won't get back with me.
Oh.
But I'm working with him.
Mark, if you're listening, get in touch with Sam.
Yeah, he's definitely a good public speaker, and I want to learn some of his tricks and tips.
Absolutely. He seems to be someone that's really doing a lot of good out there, so kudos to him for that. Are there any wrestlers that you haven't had on yet that you'd like to, other than Mark Merrill?
Well, I can spoil this one, but I'm going to keep it very vague, and it's a potential works, but I'm not for sure.
Okay.
The old Jake the Snake.
Oh, very cool.
I admire that guy. He's been through so much hell, and to be to where he is today, it's just incredible.
Yeah, I think Jake would definitely be an interesting person to talk to. And you mentioned Jake, and that also brings to mind another one who I think would be a good fit. How about DDP?
So we're part of a network, and she reached out, kind of made the connection. Well, he was going to do it, but I think he was trying to save his voice for something, because I think a while back he had a voice accident, so that didn't pan out either. But there was no, like, hard grudges. I don't have a hard grudge against him nor the Mountie.
Yeah.
I still think they're pretty cool people.
Yeah, sometimes things just don't fit, and that's okay. So talking about DDP, that reminds me. Have you gone back and watched all of, or at least some of the old, like, WCW stuff?
Say some of the WCW stuff. It's not big. I know some of the WCW stuff. I know Hulk Hogan turned his back on the wrestling business and to join the NWO, which I thought was the best decision he ever made in his life. Because as much as I don't like Hulk Hogan, I don't like Hulk Hogan when he's the say your prayers, train your vitamins. That gets a good fit for some people. It was probably a good fit in that time frame. But for me and who I am, bleh. I like the NWO Hulk Hogan. NWO, badass. Like, love them. Two Death Rebels. Hulk Hogan could talk. I didn't know Hulk Hogan could do a promo back then without being, what you gonna do? I thought Hulk Hogan then was more of a role model, believe it or not. And it was perfect timing because also teens were rebelling against their parents in that time frame. But I think that Hulk Hogan is more of a role model than the other one, because that Hulk Hogan showed people don't live in fear. The other Hulk Hogan taught people to respect their parents and eat your vitamins. I'd rather look at the other Hulk Hogan to not live in fear and look up to that Hulk Hogan versus respect your parents and eat your vitamins.
Yeah, that's interesting. I hadn't considered that before, but that's a good point. And, you know, at that point in Hogan's career, I think he'd pretty much gone as far as he could as a babyface, and it was definitely time for a change.
Right, and I think at that time span too, but right before NWO Hulk Hogan, he was still going to WCW trying to be the same old Hulk Hogan. Yep. What I heard from Jimmy Hart, people were booing him.
Yeah, I believe it. And, well, you know, actually, it's interesting you mentioned that, because even going back to the Hulkamania period in WWE, I think he was starting to get on the bad side of some fans too. Because if you go back and you watch all of his stuff, he acted like a heel quite often. You know, one particular incident that stands out was, I forget which year, maybe 1992, but the Royal Rumble. At the end of the match, he gets tossed out by Sid, and he's a very poor sport about it. And you can see some of the fans kind of booing him a little bit. So yeah.
And I know, too, and I have nothing against Hulk Hogan's, whatever, but from what I've heard from others, Hulk, if you're listening to this, I'm not saying this is true. I'm not for sure who's telling the truth here. I'm just going by what I heard. So don't sue me, whatever you do. But what I've heard from others, Hulk Hogan can be difficult to work with.
Yeah, a little bit of a backstage politician, as they say.
Correct. That's the way they put it.
Yeah.
And when they got NW Hogan, to me, that was him being himself. I feel like saying your prayers, eating your vitamins could have been better for someone else, not for Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, and of course, you know, who's to say for sure? You know, all we can do is just read about what other people say. So, you know, hard to say one way or the other. But, you know, I'm sure we've both heard the same things about him. But yeah, the NWO Hogan, that was definitely an interesting time. And I remember Monday nights when they went head to head with WWE, I was like almost constantly like flipping channels, going back and forth. And it's hard to imagine something like that happening nowadays. I mean, AEW, they think they still have a long way to go before they're ready to compete with the WWE. I would like to see AEW do well, though, because I think when there's healthy competition, I think that makes everyone involved perform better. At least that's how I felt things were, you know, during the Monday Night Wars, WWE and WCW. And then once WCW got bought out, I feel like to me, WWE started sliding downhill a little bit. That's just my opinion. I know in more recent years, I feel like they've done a good job bouncing back, and I think the product is pretty good right now.
I would say so too. I think there are some differences, and there's some pros and cons for each. So when it comes to like old wrestling, there are a lot more segments than matches. Nowadays, you get more matches versus segments. So my question is, which do you prefer? Do you prefer the segments or the matches? Now, personally, I like both, and it depends on which day. Sometimes I prefer more matches over segments. Other Mondays, I prefer more segments over matches.
Yeah, I could go either way on that, because a lot of, it depends on the quality of the segment, because there's a lot of segments that aren't necessarily that good. You know, I think back to the Attitude Era, and it was especially Stone Cold. He had so many great segments he was involved in. One of my all-time favorite segments, and one that could never be shown now, was when he invaded the home of Brian Pillman. Man, that was, watching that as a teenager, that was pretty riveting stuff.
Oh, that's sick, man. That stuff, to me, it's wrestling. To me, that's what wrestling is. It's what I call, because of watching him and just recently watching an old episode of Dark Side of the Ring, the Vince Russo way.
Was Vince Russo still around then? I don't remember when he left the company and went to WCW.
I don't remember either. But I think Vince Russo, believe it or not, call me crazy. I can't believe I'm saying this. I actually like him. I don't, maybe not because of what he agrees. I know a lot of people hate him because of some of the stuff he said and some of the stuff because of what he's done, which some of it I don't agree with, I'll be honest. But I actually like him because of his outspokenness. Let me put it this way. Some of the promo he did at Bash at the Beach 2000, where he told you how it is something I do. I like the wrestlers that are very outspoken, or people in the wrestling business that are very outspoken and who will tell you how it is. CM Punk, pretty outspoken. Maybe not. Maybe I don't like his wrestling style, but I like his outspokenness. Vince Russo, some of his beliefs I don't agree with, but I like how he'll tell you how it is. You don't like it, pardon the French, but kiss my ass.
Yeah, I think he definitely contributed a lot to when he was in WWE. WCW, I don't know. I don't know whose idea it was to put the championship belt on David Arquette. I don't know if that was Russo or if that was Eric Bischoff, but I wasn't a fan of that.
I'm not for sure either, but hey, whoever idea it was, we all make mistakes though too.
That's true.
You live and you learn too. That's why I'm also like, you know what? Here's the deal. If I make a mistake, so be it. I'll live and learn. I won't do it again.
Yeah, absolutely. But Sam, have you ever attended any of WrestleManias?
Not WrestleManias, but I've been to Raws and SmackDowns. I actually recently last year went to my first wrestling pay-per-view, Fastlane, in Indy.
Okay, was that a pretty fun experience?
It was a fun experience. It definitely was. I've been wanting to go to a wrestling pay-per-view ever since I was a little boy, and I didn't care what it was. I didn't care if it was a hinky-dinky one, as I call it, like a Money in the Bank, or not one of the big ones. If it was the Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, SummerSlam, Survivor Series, Money in the Bank, Fastlane, I didn't care what it was. It just had to be, realistically, a wrestling pay-per-view.
Yeah, I actually went to WrestleMania 23 in Detroit, and unfortunately it was not the greatest experience just because I had terrible seats. Like, I pretty much had to spend the entire show just staring up at the giant monitor on the ceiling because I was down on the field and like everybody in front of me was standing up. So I couldn't see, and that was kind of annoying. And
yeah, I've had seats like that too, mm-hmm. but I can learn a little with it because, you know, at least a TV's something. And from a broadcaster standpoint, I don't mind it. I like the TV.
Oh, really? Okay. I guess I was just kind of put off the fact that, you know, you spend all that money to be there and then it's like, oh, you can't even see the ring. Got to watch the TV. So
yeah, I don't mind that. I can see the frustration, but because of just, at least I'm here, I look at that side versus, well, I don't have the TV. Okay, boo-hoo, you're there.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
At least. Come on, that's something.
Yeah, no, that's true. You know, it was cool being able to attend.
So how much people can say they've been to a wrestling pay-per-view? Not many.
Yeah.
I know we can, but there's a whole bunch of Americans or people in the United States that can't say they've been to one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's a good point. What's the most recent show that you've been to?
The recent show was Fastlane.
Okay. See, my last one was in 2020. I went to an episode of NXT, and that was right before the COVID thing happened. So that was pretty cool because at NXT Full Sail Arena, there's not a bad seat in the house there, and that was a pretty great time.
You know something, fun fact about that? I almost went there for college broadcasting.
Oh, Full Sail?
I almost literally went to Full Sail University because of their whole broadcasting department. But then I realized, well, it's going to be a lot more money. It's going to be stressful on my parents. I don't want to really do that to them and have them fly over to see me. I don't want to make them move across the country because, my mother, she wouldn't be able to let me go. And she told me if I go there because of who I am, I think you do wonderful. But just because of my motherly instinct, I had to live there. And I'm not going to make you pay that much money. So to please the parents and to please myself to make my life easier, I chose an Indiana college, which still has a good broadcasting program.
Mm-hmm. Are you still in school right now?
Third year college, buddy.
Okay, cool. What are your future plans?
I'm hoping to do something with broadcasting, maybe something with the podcast, maybe not. I know on February 3rd, I go to something. I like Monster Jam. I do like Monster X. I'm a bit of a country boy, so definitely do some country boy stuff. But what's really cool is they have these reporters. They're like, what's your name, bud? How's the show going? You know, ask the regular interview questions. To me, that just sounds like a fun job.
Yeah.
So maybe something with that. Or maybe go work with the wrestling and just be on the broadcasting side of it. I know like Caleb Braxton, Michael Cole.
Yeah, that was gonna be my next question, is if you had any aspirations of trying to get into the wrestling business.
It's a possibility.
Okay. I mean, you already have some connections, sounds like, so that helps.
I definitely have some ideas.
Yeah, see, the only part about being with the WWE I don't know about is all the travel involved. I think that would be pretty tough.
Yeah, it is true. But then also, I feel like with this new Triple H being in control, I don't want to say better, because Vince McMahon, although was somewhat people thought negative, there was some aspirations where Triple H was good. And I think one of the good ones is Mr. McMahon didn't give you a lot of time off. Triple H will give you some time off and be like, all right, man, go have some time off.
Yeah, I definitely like the changes that have been happening since Triple H took over. And it sounds like he's a bit of an easier person to work for, too. So I'm excited about where the future of the WWE is going. Sam, let's talk a little bit about this year's WrestleMania. It's right around the corner. Do you have any predictions for who might be competing in some of the matches?
Jimmy and Jey Uso. I bet the Usos are going to go at it. I can bet money on that one. Okay. And then this year, I'm thinking Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns are going to go at it again. And then I hope, if not WrestleMania, SummerSlam, they save it for a big pay-per-view, CM Punk versus Seth Rollins. Because of their real beef, that's as perfect storyline.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard to say what's going to happen. We have the return of CM Punk. We've got the return of The Rock. To what extent, I don't know.
I'm hoping they put that one at Elimination Chamber.
Okay.
This is what I'm hoping. Cody Rhodes wins the... Cody Rhodes somehow gets in the chamber, wins the chamber. He goes on to main event WrestleMania. The Rock faces Roman Reigns at Elimination Chamber. He loses, and there you go. To me, that would be the most sense.
Okay, I can see that. You know, I gotta say, I'd like to see someone get the title off of Roman ASAP, because I'm not a big fan of the only showing up like once every 3 or 4 months and competing. They did the same thing.
I didn't mind that at first, but then after WrestleMania 39, it was. I think they should have taken it off at WrestleMania 39.
Yeah, it kind of feels
that
like
that match, the wrong man won.
It kind of feels like after WrestleMania 39, like they didn't have like a real strong direction to take it in. You know, it's like it seems like the whole Bloodline storyline kind of started to flounder a little bit, and I don't know. I think it's time for a change.
Yeah. And I'm just wondering, though, too, with all these guys coming from AEW, are they going to be able to stay in WWE and make the right call? And not be like, oh, I'm going to AEW. That's my only concern I have with some of these guys from AEW, like CM Punk, Cody Rhodes, coming from WWE. They're businessmen. I can tell that.
Mm-hmm.
But are they going to stay in WWE if they're on top and not just throw the belt away and say, hey, I'm at AEW? Basically, what I'm saying is they're going to pull a Medusa move.
Yeah, I hope that doesn't happen, but, you know, you never know. Sam, you mentioned that one of the guests you had on your podcast was Victoria. How do you feel about women's wrestling? You have some favorite women wrestlers?
Yeah, I got some favorites. Rhea Ripley today. Today is Rhea Ripley, hands down. That I like the fact when women get involved with men. Or the women that look like men. It's a lot of the powerhouses.
Mm-hmm. You know, and as great as the Attitude Era was, one of their shortcomings was kind of how they treated the women's division. So I think it's great to see them competing at just the same level as men are now. You know, one of my favorites right now, I'd probably say, is Asuka. I think she's a badass. Definitely like her. She has a fun character too. Also like Bayley, although I prefer the hugger character.
I don't like the hugger character.
Sam.
I'm sorry. See, I like evil. I like evil. I'm awful. I know. I like evil.
Man, you know,
I know I would say if I was a wrestler, I would be the better villain than the good guy. Because I kind of am. And I can make you believe I am an evil SOB.
Well, speaking of evil, one of my favorites from the Attitude Era was Gangrel. I love the whole gimmick, and I think he had one of the best entrances and music in all of wrestling, and that still holds up to this day. But yeah, definitely enjoyed the Brood, Gangrel. Do you like the whole vampire gimmick that they were doing?
Yeah, I like the whole vampire gimmick, but I think they elevated it more when they joined one of my favorite factions of all time, because it was the right timing, and this could come from a comic book, the Ministry of Darkness.
Yeah, the Ministry of Darkness version of the Undertaker. That's my all time favorite Undertaker. He was definitely evil, and that was a lot of fun when they did that.
That was. You could see that coming though from a comic book character. That's my thing. I could open a comic book and just see this villain Undertaker, who's unstoppable. Who the heck's gonna stop him?
Yeah, you know, one of my biggest gripes from the whole ministry thing was, see, I wasn't a big fan of how they did the higher power thing, and that ended up being Vince McMahon. I thought that was a bit of a letdown. Storyline-wise, it made sense, but...
Yeah, but I liked some of the stuff they were doing. Like getting whipped with the belt.
Yeah.
That was out of the box, man. That was just out of sight. Even Gangrel was like, we're going to do this? Oh my gosh. I don't want to be him. He even admitted it, because that was during one of the panels at the Squared Circle Expo. They have panels where some of the moderators will ask questions. One of my questions I asked was, out of all of these segments or matches you did, what do you think was the most creative or like out there? Like you thought, holy crap, we're going to do this. Mick Foley said, this is your live segment. D-Von Dudley was there. He stayed at the tables, ladders, and chairs. He said backstage, he thought, oh my gosh, we're going to do this. Someone's going to die. Gangrel's answer was the segment where Undertaker whipped the flesh of Christian. He's like, oh my gosh, we're doing this? Thank God it ain't me.
Another thing from the ministry was when they tried to sacrifice Stephanie McMahon. That was pretty wild.
It was insane. I just thought, only WWE, this could come out of a comic book.
Yeah, and you know, that's stuff like that we're not gonna see anything like that ever, probably. Just different times now. But yeah, it was definitely made for some fun memories there.
Yeah, definitely some fun childhood memories for sure.
All right, so you said that you think Cody is going to win the Rumble this year?
Him or CM Punk?
Yeah, because they both announced themselves for the match, right?
Right, and I feel like they're both teased it a little bit.
Okay. Yeah, that's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. I got to tell you, as far as current wrestlers go, I'm a big fan of Gunther. And
oh, yeah, Gunther. Yeah, he's old. Like, I'm not saying he is old, but he reminds me a lot of the old school wrestling.
Yeah.
Where wrestling was wrestling and not adding in weapons. Don't get me wrong, I think the weapons are best. It's my favorite type. But I want to see sometimes a wrestler that is just wrestling, who doesn't want to bring in the weapons, who thinks that this mat is unbelievable. I mean, I like his view of the mat is sacred. Love that. Also love the fact that his wrestling ability is that of a wrestler, back in, you would see the 19.
Yeah, every time he steps into the ring, you know that you're going to get a quality match. And I was really bummed out at last year's Royal Rumble. You know, he put in one of the all-time great performances, and then Cody comes out at number 30 and beats him. So I was pretty bummed out by that.
He's going to get his time at some point. He already probably already has his time. Longest reign Intercontinental Champion. But let me put it this way. If they don't put the belt on him at some point, the big belt, WWE is a dumbass.
I can't disagree with that. I think he definitely deserves it. Yeah, it's just going to be tough now with things are getting pretty crowded at the top there. It's going to be interesting to see how everything plays out. What about for the Women's Royal Rumble? Who do you think is going to take that?
I haven't paid much attention to that one. I've been so interested in the men's. Who's going to win the Women's Royal Rumble? And we could see Bianca Belair again. Maybe Bayley. Well, I think Bayley would be the most interesting one to win the Rumble.
Yeah, Bayley seems like there's a little bit of tension going on there in damage control. I'm not sure how much longer Bayley's going to last.
Yeah. It might be what I've heard too. Asuka might be the one backstabbed. And then we'll get Asuka versus Io.
Okay. I mean, if they do that match, no complaints from me. They got two of the best going at it. I would definitely look forward to that.
Yeah. I just wish Io could break away from damage control. I think damage control now, while beneficial for her, maybe back in 2021, in 2024, it's a damper.
Yeah. I'd like to see Io get a run with the belt as a babyface. I think she would excel there.
Yeah, let me put it this way. If she was a bad babyface in NXT, I want to see that come to the main roster.
Well, she did have a pretty cool moment at the Survivor Series in the War Games match when she dove off the cage with a garbage can on her. I enjoyed that moment. That was pretty impressive.
It was pretty impressive. There's been a lot of impressive moments at WWE. It's been crazy.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about John Cena?
He can't quit changing. I don't like wrestlers that change their moves all the time. I think you should have, I believe in evolution, so you should have new moves, but keep some of your same moves. Roman added the guillotine, but he kept the Superman punch and spear. John Cena keeps changing them. One minute he's sunset flipping, next minute he's springboard stunnering, and then all of a sudden he's doing a back fist and a clothesline. No, don't quit changing. Don't change all the time. Keep some things, but change some things too. Make it 50-50.
Yeah, I've never been a Cena fan. You know, don't get me wrong, I appreciate what he's done for the business, but I just never been a fan of his character.
Yep, and it's a Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan. And yeah. I hate to say this too, that even goes for Rey Mysterio. As a child, yeah, I love Rey Mysterio. As a child, yes, I love John Cena. But then when we grow older, John Cena and Rey Mysterio, I feel like they're too old for us. We grow up. We want to see things such as Bobby Lashley Almighty. We want to see the headbands. We want to see the action, not a mask or a foam sign, or get John Cena's t-shirt. It's a cool moment as a kid, but this is my view as an adult.
Yeah, I guess to give a definitive answer to an earlier question you had, I'd rather see a good quality wrestling match over a segment. And Cena, he's kind of similar to Hogan in that respect. He's kind of limited in the ring. And yeah, he has some moves, but his style just doesn't really do it for me.
When he quits changing, then that might be good. But if he's going to keep changing, no, we don't do that.
Yeah. I mean, he is pretty close to retired at this point, so I guess it doesn't really matter. But he had a really long run at the top, and yeah, just not someone I'm a fan of. Same thing with like a Randy Orton.
You know what? I actually like Randy Orton. I like the character. I actually think his style is he can change his moves, but also he still has some Orton moves, the DDT, the power slam, the RKO, the punt. That's my point, though. Randy kept some of his Randy Orton moves, but he also did change some moves at the same time while keeping his Randy Orton moves.
Yeah, he didn't go and completely change. He just evolved. And, you know, I give him credit for that. I've always just found his character to be kind of bland. You know, same thing goes for a guy like The Miz. He's also been around for a really long time. And, man, I can't stand The Miz.
I like The Miz as a baby face, but as a heel, he's pretty cool. Probably one of the best heels in the business.
He's a good talker. I'll give him that. But at the same time, he gets on my nerves, which, I mean, when he's a heel, that's what he's supposed to be doing. So I guess he's doing his job.
That's why he's good, though, yeah. As a heel. That's why he's one of the best heels. That's what heels are supposed to do.
Yeah.
Get on your nerves so the baby faces can beat him. And in the ring, of course, he thinks he's this big, bad wrestler who can wrestle. But people have said before, he can't wrestle.
Mm-hmm. How about this one? All-time favorite tag team.
Tag team. Oh, this is easy. What a rush.
Okay. I'd say that's a pretty good answer.
I mean, come on. Yeah. I like, and here's another type of wrestlers I like. So a lot of times, you know, men in this world think wrestlers are stupid. They think that, why are you here? I think I'd rather see a UFC match where they're really fighting. I like wrestlers, too, that where men, like big men, or like big burly men who are like, whoa, they're actually kind of cool. So wrestlers like Goldberg because of presentation. And the Road Warriors make, I think, men, like motorcycle men or men, let's call it that, just big, rough men go, whoa.
Which name do you prefer? Do you prefer the Road Warriors or Legion of Doom?
Road Warriors.
I would agree with that, too. I think I like Road Warriors. You know, I feel like when they were in the WWE, I just think more could have been done with them. You know, I wish they would have been featured more, I guess.
Too, but then I've heard also there were a lot of behind-the-scenes issues with Hawk.
Okay, yeah.
That was part of the problem, too. I mean, you can learn a lot of the business from Dark Side of the Ring and what goes behind the scenes. Hawk was just... It got to a point where he was just a complete cannon. Like, okay. He did things his way, his own way. You don't like it. Screw you. And I am that to a point. Let me put it that way. But I also believe in conforming to some degree. Okay. I don't believe in, you know, zero conforming, my way or the highway. I have that when I need it. But then there's some stuff I'm like, no, okay, I'll work with you.
Okay, so sounds like a little bit of a self-sabotage there on his part, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, I think even Animal had enough and just said, bro, we're done.
Yeah. Yeah, that's unfortunate. You know, it's too bad we can't all just get along and work in perfect harmony. But unfortunately, that's not how the way things go a lot of times.
It is unfortunate, but we all have our demons.
Yep, that is true. Sam, this has been a quick hour that's gone by. Are there any other topics you'd like to touch on?
I'm not a movie geek, but because I'm in college and there's nothing really to do other than study some days, I put on the new movie that's coming out that I think is pretty funny, Strays.
Strays, did you say?
Yes.
Okay. I've heard of that, but I haven't watched it. Is it pretty good?
It's pretty funny. It's pretty funny. Is it the funniest movie alive? No, there's been funnier movies out there. But it makes sense.
What would you consider the funniest movie of all time, then?
Funniest movie of all time. It's actually movie and series. Jackass.
Oh, yeah, I was never a big fan of Jackass.
But that's my humor.
Yeah.
I got, like, 12-year-old humor. You know, a chicken getting shoved up your butt, pretty funny. People acting stupid, pretty funny. You know, some people are like, oh, they're stupid. What an idiot. I like that, too. I'm like, oh, stupid. What an idiot. But then I'm also like, hey, where's my popcorn at? I'm going to watch this.
You know, my favorite comedy is probably Dumb and Dumber, which I guess that does kind of fall along similar lines as Jackass with kind of like the stupid humor. But always a big Dumb and Dumber fan. It's always makes me laugh when I watch that movie. And that was Jim Carrey at his best, too. So
yeah, But then I don't know what you call this humor, but another type of humor I enjoy and I see this a lot is when characters change the channel, as they call it. So let's give an example here. Loki from Lego is like, I'm going to rule the world. I'm going to rule the world. The world's coming to me. All of a sudden you hear, oh, before I do that, I'm going to eat my chocolate chip waffles. That's another type of humor I like. Like when someone's trying to escape and they're going to die from a burning flame, they're like, oh, did we forget? Is my mask on right?
What kind of other hobbies do you have?
Let's see, what else do I like to do? I'm a big guy who likes to go out to eat. And then a lot of country boy things. So fishing. I'm not a hunter. I never have been a hunter. But fishing's one of them for certainty. Four-wheeler ride when I could. I just don't have a four-wheeler at the moment, unfortunately. Let's see, what else? You know, I love to... You know, I got dogs, so definitely something country, I guess you can call that. And then definitely enjoy a nice steak dinner. So there's some stuff I like to do. I'm a traveler, too. I like to see the world. I don't like to stay in the country all the time. I like to visit sites. I probably won't live in a big city ever, just not who I am. But I like to visit one. I visited several before. I went to D.C. to visit on a vacation. I've been to San Antonio, Texas. Been to Florida lots of times. Not Orlando, although hopefully I'll be in the future. Sarasota and Destin were the main ones I went to. And then I've also went to Nashville.
You've been around quite a bit. I'm like you. I don't think I'd ever want to live in a big city. They do have their perks, but overall, way too much traffic.
If I have to, I will. But if I don't, I'll prefer the country, please. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm not in the country, but I live in a pretty small city. So that's
small that's city enough. Or a suburb's fine, or yeah. A rural area's fine. But a big city where you hear, it's something I have to hear at night is a train going by. I don't want to really hear that.
No.
It's not my... If I have to, fine, but not an ideal place, not an ideal thing.
No, I agree with you on that. Not ideal at all. Other than steak, what are some of your favorite foods that you like?
Oh, man. Well, I'm definitely a carnivore. Big old carnivore. So wings, ribs, brisket. See, what else? Steak, clearly. What other meats do I like? Fish. I don't know if you count that as meat or not. Well, I think it's meat. Fish, lunch meat, pepperoni, salami, capicola, ham, turkey. But then I also do have a sweet tooth. So ice cream, cake, chocolate, apple pie. It's pretty all good.
I'm going to wrap things up here. Once again, Sam, the website is www.autismrocksandrolls.com, which is also the same name as the podcast. And so 5 years from now, where do you see your podcast? I mean, do you plan on expanding it in any way?
As much as I can. It may still be here, though. I'm only taking it one day at a time, man.
Mm-hmm. How long have you been going at it?
Since October 2019.
Okay. That's a pretty good run. That's impressive. Congratulations on such a good run. And I hope things continue for you.
I hope so, too.
All right, Sam. Do you connect with people on social media at all? Is there any place that people can talk to you online?
I'm pretty much everywhere. So you find me on YouTube, Facebook. I'm not a hard guy to find. Let me put it that way.
Okay. All right, cool. I'll throw some links into the description of this episode to help people find you. And so Sam, that's been fun talking to you. And thank you very much for coming on the show.
Not a problem. Thank you, brother.
All right. We'll have to do it again sometime, okay?
All righty.
All right. And thank all of you for listening. You can find me on Twitter at A Happy Moment Pod. Also on YouTube, just search for A Happy Moment Podcast. And I will see you guys next time. Take care, everybody.